This is Morning Edition on GLT. Musicians Glenn Wilson and John Dearth say they are always looking for and instilling a sense of authenticity with their jazz students. Wilson is a Barry sax player and director of the jazz program at Illinois Wesleyan University. Dearth is a trumpeter and director of jazz performance at the University of Virginia. The longtime friends and colleagues will reunite tonight when Dearth guests with the Illinois Wesleyan Jazz Ensemble in the school's Westbrook Auditorium. Both joined us this week to talk jazz and education. Somewhat surprisingly, Wilson said he doesn't consider himself or Dearth to be educators.
We're just old musicians who want to bring everything we've learned in this business to a younger generation and inspire them to play some music. So I don't really consider myself an educator, although I do have a degree in music education, but there are some fantastic
You're the head of a
teachers.
Jazz program. You're an
well,
educator.
Well, that's true. I'm an educator, but I'm an educator in a musical format.
And John Dearth, you're the you're an educator as well, director of the jazz performance at the University of Virginia.
And I actually like the point that Glenn is trying to bring out here, because the fact is, nowadays I'm really much more interested in exposing students to actual jazz music, real jazz, great jazz, because of what jazz has to teach, which is two things. Basically, own the music. To me, jazz gave music back to the musicians. Black music, African American, comes from Black America, went around the world, and recordings changed everybody's hearing. Everybody came back with a new sense of music from jazz music. So it teaches basically two things: master your instrument, master musical language on the instrument, and be yourself. Tell your own story. Don't imitate. And by the way, that's one reason why I love playing with Glenn. I don't mean to embarrass Glenn, but anyway.
Well, same here.
Well, Glenn, John talked about what he likes to instill into younger players and how mastering the instrument and some other things. What are you hoping that John will bring to your students when he's here for a very short time?
Oh, I just want them, number one, to be able to hear him play, because he's such a unique player. He's really one of the greatest jazz trumpet players in the world, and nobody knows about him. And so there's a reason for that, and we could talk about that in the music business class.
But also, Glenn, it was funny, in the one review that I read of Timely, the record we did a while back, the reviewer said, "And John Dearth is on the record. Everybody's hip to him." And I didn't really know quite how to take that.
Yeah. So we did a live recording in a club. This was in 2015. It's our latest recording, Timely. The students have heard that. My students have heard that record, and they're real excited about hearing John. But just to be able to talk to him, and the trumpet players, to be able to talk to him about trumpet and how he approaches the instrument, it's very unique. And anytime you can expose these kids to a professional musician, they're going to grow.
John, I think I'll go with you on this one, but either one of you can answer it. Since jazz is April Appreciation Month, you know, we've talked to a lot of people on GLT this month, jazz cats, right? Young jazz players, and even with Dennis McCrell, who was at ISU last weekend. You know, and I kind of put it to them that, you know, jazz has got a bad rap over the last number of years, even decades, right? There's always the jazz is dead mantra, and there's always, you know, where's jazz going, things like that. But to a person, they are bullish on jazz. And you're feeling the same way, John?
I do. And listen, let me just go back a little bit and say, you know, why would I invite Glenn to be a guest at my school, which we did a while back? The thing is, what I value about it more than anything is somebody who is thinking for themselves. Also, somebody who has a damn sense of humor. You know, Glenn has this amazing sense of humor about the music. He's also one of the freest players. And that's what I'm trying to teach these kids. What I hate about jazz education and the jazz education racket, as I like to call it, and all education is a bit of a racket. You know, you've got to really train the students to understand that you are working for them. They're hiring you to teach them something. They should take that more seriously as the boss of them. But, you know, the thing of it is, this music ends up being very repetitive, codified. Everybody's trying to learn the same thing to pass the Jazz Police Academy test. And Glenn Wilson does not care one bit about that. He's like not even thinking of, you know, chord changes or anything half the time, just hearing and playing totally free from his own mind. That, to me, is the essence of what jazz should be.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. Two voices, Glenn Wilson, the jazz program director at Illinois Wesleyan University, and John Durth, who's the director of jazz performance at the University of Virginia. And John Durth is in town tonight to play at Illinois Wesleyan University. You talked about traditional jazz. You talked about, you know, sticking with the jazz police or trying to avoid the jazz police. What I hear from a number of younger jazz groups, young students that are just getting out of school, or even a little bit older, is some different sounds, and they're more incorporating different genres into their jazz, whether it's rock or R&B or some other things, as opposed to sticking to the classics, right? Is that kind of the direction jazz is going on a commercial level?
It is, I think, and people are trying to play more modal tunes without changes and more odd meter tunes and rockish tunes, and let's record a song from Nirvana and let's do this and that. That's fine for them, you know, that's their music. If they hear that, they should always reflect what they hear and what they grew up with. They should do that. But some of this stuff, you know, Kendrick Lamar, and they call that jazz, you know, cursing and running around and acting silly. It's kind of an interesting thing. Robert Glasper has some really interesting things going on, but I don't know if I would call it jazz, but Miles Davis didn't call his music jazz either. So,
and neither. Right, we don't like the word a lot of times.
Yeah.
We really don't.
So how do you feel about that, John?
Well, I feel that jazz has always moved forward by incorporating everything. It's sort of like omnivorous. There's nothing jazz couldn't digest. In theory, I think. And I think that it's really important for young people to be in touch with their own cultural, you know, reality. But when I talk about the jazz police, I'm not talking about kids not playing traditional jazz. I'm talking about people who don't understand that this music is supposed to be about self-expression and about creating yourself as an artist. That's the essence of this music, not what we, you know, tend to start thinking, which is, how do I get to be like Charlie Parker? I mean, the only way you're going to be like Charlie Parker is to be Charlie Parker. That's what this music also has to teach. You know, Oscar Wilde said, be yourself, everyone else is taken. Jazz music reflects that. And the real jazz reflects that. And if real jazz, or anything you want to call, you know, American, black, originated, you know, improvised music, whatever the heck, it's got to come from within a person genuinely to be authentic, in my view. And I'm looking for authentic. I'm looking for authenticity all the time.
John Durth, he's on the phone in his home state of Virginia. Glenn Wilson, the head of the Illinois Wesleyan Jazz Program, is in studio here on GLT. I'm John Norton. Let me give you even a little bit different angle as we're staying on the education angle. I had a recent conversation with the pop rock group Red Scars. Glenn, I don't know if you're familiar with those guys.
Yes, they're students of mine.
Okay, they were students of yours. That's what I was going to get.
Still are. The drummer still is.
Okay, well, most of them are IWU alums who said that their training in jazz and classical music at Wesleyan helped make them better pop rock songwriters.
Sure.
Glenn and John, does somebody have to come into the jazz program and want to be a jazz player, or can they come in and become a more sophisticated songwriter?
Oh, yeah, any of that and all of that. And Wesleyan, of course, is a small school, so a lot of my students are not even music majors, and they have other things going on, you know. And
same with my school, although it's a big school.
Yeah. So the jazz is something they do because they want to do it, and hopefully I make it fun and educational for them, and they feel they're growing as musicians. But certainly with what Red Scarves does is, you know, influenced by jazz and the fact that they can play their instruments to a certain level, and they know more than three chords, and, you know, they have some interesting harmonic progressions, and the tunes are well written. And, you know, I always tell the students when I used to teach music business at U of I that, you know, just be yourself, that the only music you can make that no one else can make, and if it hits, great, and if people enjoy it, great, but you're still going to be, you know, as John said, expressing your artistic self, and that'll always shine through.
John Durth, I want to go backwards just a little bit, and basically you learned at the foot of your father, right, as a really young kid?
Yeah, I did. I mean, my dad, a famous story that he took me home from the hospital, and when I was born, and played me 17 records, 78 records that he had chosen, and I know the first one was Duke Ellington's Caravan, which was very good choice, and I'm sure it wasn't conscious, but my mother was Jewish, he was not, and just had all of those sounds in it, you know, so Yeah, I learned about music from a man who knew nothing about music technically, but understood it with his ears better than many people I've ever met, and the excitement about it was palpable always. So I caught the bug from him, that's true. I really began to learn a lot about music from a teacher in Milford, Massachusetts named Boots Mazzulli, who played with Stan Kenton. And I hope this isn't too much for your listeners, but when I was 14 years old and went to my first lesson, he was very eager to point out to me that this music that I was trying to play was very closely aligned to my sexual identity, and that he wanted to know if I had hit puberty yet, and if I had, which I had, he said, that's how you play your horn. Do you know what I'm talking about? I really thought that was one of the greatest music lessons I ever learned, and I try to gingerly and gently impart that information to people as I can, because what I do feel is that music is biological, that it's part of everybody, and we basically screw people up with it because little kids all have kind of a dream of music. And then the minute we start teaching them, we often ruin that, and then it's a triage. Who can survive this training and still be a musician? So that's my theory. I'm doing a lot in my town with kids who can't afford music lessons, giving them instruments and just letting them play free music, and I call it the precognitive conservatory orchestra. But Wayne Shorter met us and lectured my kids about music and life, and he was thrilled with what we were doing, so that was pretty cool.
University of Virginia Jazz Performance Director John Dirth and Illinois Wesleyan Jazz Director Glenn Wilson. Dirth is the guest artist tonight for the IWU Jazz Ensemble in the school's Westbrook Auditorium in Presser Hall. The music begins at 8 p.m. The concert is free and open to the public.